another announcement that I forgot to tell Brother Stanley. On the bulletin board in the back, as you go out, on the left side as you're going out, there is a list of songs where next Sunday night is our singing and song request. So if you have, if you'd like to see led next Sunday night, please put those numbers on that list so that we'll, can look at them and we can prepare for that next Sunday evening. This morning, we're going to conclude our thoughts together on, is it reasonable for man to believe in God? Is it reasonable? Is there enough evidence that we can find the conclusion that man has the right and has enough evidence that God is something that we can believe in and have confidence in? And this morning we looked at some passages and we looked at some statements made by those who scoff at the knowledge that there is a God, that there is a heaven and a hell, and that the Bible is an inspired book, and we want to conclude those thoughts this evening. We're looking at cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. For every effect, there has to be a cause. If the existence of the cosmos as a whole needs to be explained, and if it cannot be explained by natural causes, then we must look at the existence and action of a supernatural cause for its explanation. Now, it is one of two things. Either the world came here by natural cause, and what that means is that it did, in a process of time, naturally evolve to what it is today. That is one belief. The other belief is that it is here by design, by purpose, by intelligence, and by a created being putting it here. And that's called intelligent design. Now, it has to be one or the other. There is no middle ground here. There is a new thing that was started probably about 20 years ago to combine these two thoughts called theistic evolution. Theistic evolution is the new thing that's being taught in colleges today, on many campuses, and also in high school. Theistic evolution says that God did create, but He did it through the natural processes of time. And it still took millions and billions of years to do, but it was done by God through natural cause. Well, that sounds nice, and that sounds like they're giving God some credit, but in actuality, they're still trying to leave Him out of it. And so, what we have to do is look at the evidence and see if there's enough evidence that we can secure our faith that God indeed was the designer, was the creator, and the reason that the earth and everything in it exists. In Romans chapter 1, and we looked at this verse very briefly this morning. In Romans chapter 1, Paul wrote to the church in Rome and made this statement. He said, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. What Paul is saying is that you can look at the cosmos, you can look at the world, you can look at astronomy, you can look at the heavens, you can look at the firmament, you can look at all the things that are created in the world, and you can see the invisible attributes of God. What are those invisible attributes of God? Well, that one of them is His power. His power to make things exist out of nothing. The Bible tells us in the Genesis account that in the beginning, God said, let there be light. He spoke the world into existence. Now, brethren, if God did that, that manifests great power. That shows His immense power. We can't speak anything into existence. We can't even turn a light on without going and flipping a switch. We can't do anything by speaking it into existence. And if someone's able to do that, that demonstrates immense power. It also shows wisdom. How is everything exactly the way that it needs to be? How do animals have instinct? Why do certain animals have different instinct than other animals? Why is that? Did that just happen by a freak thing of nature? That certain animals have certain attributes and instincts and other animals don't? Is that something that just happened? Or did there have to be design behind that? It has to be one or the other. It either has to be by natural cause, or it has to be by intelligent design. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that's not a lot of detail. I know that doesn't tell us everything we'd like to know. The account of creation is discussed in two chapters of the Bible. There are passages and statements made throughout the Bible that reinforce it, but the account of creation is contained in two chapters of the Bible. Why so brief? Why so much detail left out? Let me ask you something. How much did God tell us? He told us what we needed to know. He told us the cause. The cause was God. God made the effect. The world was void, without form. It was empty. The waters covered the world. There was no earth. There was no previous existence. Everything was darkness and void until God changed it. Now again, you either believe that or you don't believe it. Is that something that is believable? Is there enough evidence to support it? And I believe if you look at the world as it is, and you look at the world all around us, and you look at all the evidence that we can visibly see, it overwhelmingly cries for intelligence. It cries because it has order. Why is the universe so orderly? Why is it that way? Did that just happen by a Big Bang theory? Did that just happen by natural cause over millions and billions of years? It used to irritate me when I flew out west and I was coming back from a meeting and we would fly over Arizona and fly over the Grand Canyon. And when we flew over the Grand Canyon, the pilot would make some statement like this. He said, "Over here on your left is the Grand Canyon, which was millions and millions of years being formed." As if that's a fact. No, it wasn't millions and millions of years. If you can look at the Grand Canyon, I've seen the Grand Canyon, the Southern Rim, at twilight, at sunset, at sunrise. That didn't just happen, folks. That's not something that just happened. Somebody created that beauty. And that somebody was God. You either believe that, or you believe what the evolutionist says, that it happened by natural cause. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. You can look at the sky. You can, if you like astronomy and you like the study of planets and the study of stars, it's fascinating. There's millions of them. You know there's billions of stars? And the Bible says that God knows their every name. Do we? Do we know their every name? We just continually find new galaxies. We find new planets that we hadn't seen before because our telescopes get more and more powerful and we'll be able to go into the heavens and we'll be able to see things that we weren't able to see before. And we just see more and more and more. Why is it that way? Who put them there? How did they get there? The world tells us they got there by chance. I believe there's a better explanation. The Bible continues to say, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of His mouth, He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the deep in the storehouses. He let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." If you look at the chart on the left of my chart here, this is how the evolutionist explains the world structure and its core. And you notice that it took 3 billion years, and then at the top, 17 billion years. Now, I want to know the proof. I want to see the proof that says this is actually how what happened. I want to see the proof that proves each one of these transitions. Do you know there is no proof? This is what they suppose. It is a theory. It is a hypothesis. It's an educated guess. But it is not a law. It is not a fact. But the majority of the world believes the chart instead of believing what the Bible says and its explanation that God spoke it into existence and He commanded it to be so. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Well, we even have some brethren who are not sure about this statement that the world was created in 6 days. And we have those who believe in the gap theory. The gap theory simply states that there were thousands of years between the days. Thousands of years between the days. And so it really wasn't 6 literal days. Really what it was 6 different periods of time. What does the Bible say? 6 days. And if you read the creation account, you know what it says? In the morning and in the evening. How much time is that? That's a day. 6 days. And I've had people say, Mr. Greer, can you honestly, intelligently and logically believe that God created everything you can see and everything you can't see in the life, in the plant life, the animals, and all of it in 6 days? I believe He could do it in 6 seconds. I don't think He needed 6 days. He chose to use 6 days. I believe everything that God created, He could have done it instantaneously in 1 day if He chose to. You know the problem is? We try to make God a man. God is not a man. God does not think like man. God does not reason like man. He does not have man's intelligence. He far surpasses. It is God who gave man His intelligence. Why have we been able to do all the things that we've been able to do over the many decades and centuries that we've been in existence? How have we been able to do so many great things in science, in medicine, in technology, and in matter of fact? How have we been able to do all that? We were able to think it. We would be able to use our minds, and we have the ability to create. Who gave us that ability? Who gave us the ability to think? To reason, to have intelligence, to be able to look at a problem and be able to reason and be able to find a solution and then be able to find a better way of doing it. Why do we have the ability to do that and none other of God's creation have? Why? Animals have intelligence? No, they have instinct. You can train them to do many things, but they can't reason like a man. They can't have intellect like a man. To be able to see a problem and reason it through and how to do it, they do it by instinct. But man is much different. Why are we different? Why are we different? The world says it happened by chance over millions and millions of years. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The law of cause and effect. Explosions cause disorder. Not order. What happens when something explodes? There's millions of pieces. There's no order in that. What order is there in it? When there's a natural disaster, is it orderly? You know, take a hurricane. What do we call a hurricane? Or a tornado? Or a tsunami? Or an earthquake? You know what your insurance policy calls it? An act of God. You know why it calls it an act of God? Because there's no human way to explain it. An act of God. You know, I've been down in Florida helping with a cleanup after a hurricane came through. And on one side of the street, there were trailers and not a shingle, not anything was moved. But on the other side of the street, There's nothing left but slabs of cement. And it looks like somebody came with an electrical saw and just sawed off all those houses and washed them into the sea. Why does it affect one half of the street and not the other? How does a piece of straw in a hurricane go through a telephone pole? How do you explain that? You see, we can't explain that. You know why? Because explosions cause disorder. There's chaos. There's no order. There's no intelligence behind it. It's chaos. But we're to believe that millions and millions of years ago, there was a big bang out in the heavens. And when it was over, that we had all this order that we see all around us. And people say that I believe in fairy tales. No, explosions do not bring order. They bring chaos. And this world didn't happen by an explosion. It didn't happen by chaos. It happened by design, with purpose, by a creator who created it. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no other reasonable way to explain the order of the universe without God. There is no feasible way to do it. At first, the absence of a beginning appears to be an advantage to the scientific approach. There are no awkward starting conditions to deduce or explain. But this is an illusion. We still have to explain why the universe took on particular properties. Its rate, its expansion, its density, and so forth. At an infinite time in the past. You have to be able to explain it. You have to have an origin. You have to have a starting point. The atheist has none. The evolutionist has none. The theory of Darwin has none. They have no starting point. They have no point of origin. They have no beginning. Remember the cause and effect? For every effect, there has to be a cause. The Milky Way galaxy. These are just some statistics I pulled off the internet. The Milky Way galaxy. This diameter is 100,000 light years away. In how big it is, 100,000 light years in its diameter. Its thickness is 20,000 light years. Its thickness is 2,000 light years. And the number of stars that we've been able to see is 100 billion. Let that ring in your mind. 100 billion, and the Bible says God knows them by name. How did they get there? How do you explain the Milky Way galaxy? How did it get there? Why is it there? Those are questions that have to have answers. 587 quadrillion miles long. And we think 17 trillion is a big number. 500, and I can't even tell you how many zeros that is. Who created it? How did it, why is it so large? What's the most reasonable cause for organization? How is it so organized? And by the way, how are we able to figure all that out? Because we have the intelligence to do so. We built things that are able to see it and to measure it. Where did we get that intelligence? Where did it come from? Again, man doesn't have the answer to that. Here's just some statistics, if you like statistics. And what these statistics prove is way above my head. And I'm just going to go out on a limb, and I think it's way above your head to comprehend the vastness of the universe. I think it's something that's beyond our ability to comprehend, the vastness of the universe that we live in. The right kind of galaxy. For us to be in the right galaxy is one in 1,000th in the universe, that we're in the right galaxy. The right kind of star, it's one in 1 billion if it's in an acceptable galaxy. The right kind of solar system, that's one in a billion chance to be an acceptable star. And to be the right kind of a planet, one in 10 billion. Let me ask you something. Why can we live on Earth without wearing spacesuits? But you can't live on the moon. You couldn't live on Mars without artificial health. But you can live here. Why? Why can we breathe the air? Why can we walk around and not have to have gravity suits? Why is the Earth different than the other planets? I know why. Because it's this planet that God created for His creation to live upon. And this planet would be conducive for the life and the living of the creature that He was going to create in man and woman. I've been asked a lot of times, is there life on other planets? No, there is not. This planet was created to inhabit life. No other planet has the ability to be able to inhabit life unless some artificial things are done. But not Earth. Earth is different than the moon. Earth is different than Mars. Earth is different than Saturn. And of course, the Earth is different than the sun and the moon. It's different. Men can inhabit it. Why? We went to the moon. Was there any life there? Could we walk around like we do on the Earth? Could we walk around and you remember when we went to the moon? Do you remember what they had on when they were up there? They had those lead weights in their shoes because there was no gravity. They had to have suits so they could breathe, have oxygen to breathe because they couldn't breathe the air. Why is that? Why couldn't we live on the moon like we live here? Because it wasn't created for us to live there. Earth was created to live. That's where God chose to put His habitation, was on Earth. Did that just happen, brethren? Is that just something that happened by chance? The right distance from the sun, 93 million miles. Do you know if we were 1 mile closer, this planet would burn up? How are we exactly the right distance from the sun that we get its warmth and we don't burn up? And yet we're not too far away from it that we turn into an ice ball. How did that happen that way? Oh, you know how it happened. Big Bang Theory. Big explosion, and then we get all this order. Right tilt. 23.5 degrees, the Earth is tilted. The right size, the surface, and the gravity that we can live without any artificial means. The right atmosphere that we can breathe the air. The right elements. We have water here. It's one of the greatest elements that's on this Earth. Has more water in this planet. Right temperature, so we don't freeze to death, although sometimes we think we're going to. And sometimes we think we're so hot we're going to burn up, but we don't. And the right crust of the thickness, so the sun doesn't damage the planet, despite what Mr. Al Gore says. How did it happen to be exactly right in every detail? How did that happen? That everything is in its place perfectly. If that doesn't say design, then I don't have any intelligence at all. That says that there was some kind of design in the creation of it. With the best intentions, but limited by natural laws and materials, it is unlikely that Earth could ever truly be replicated. Too many processes in its formation involve sheer luck. That's what a professor has a PhD. in science, that's what he says, it couldn't be replicated because there's too many things that happen by sheer luck. Brethren, I don't believe it was sheer luck. I believe there was purpose and there was design by an intelligent creator that knew exactly what he wanted to do and knew exactly how he needed to get it accomplished. Rare earth. Why complex life is so uncommon in this universe. That's the name of his name of the piece that he wrote here. The most reasonable cause for the order in the universe. The law of cause and effect states that every material effect must have an adequate cause that existed before its effect. Mount Rushmore. You ever been there? South Dakota, I believe it is. Black Hills. How did those faces get there? Somebody put them there. It didn't happen by chance, did it? It was intelligent design, wasn't it? Somebody chiseled those faces in that stone. And all I have to do is look at it, and I can know that that didn't just happen. Why those four presidents? Why not another four presidents? Why those four? Because somebody chose those four. And somebody put them there for a purpose. That's intelligent design. That shows order. In a book called The Blind Watchmaker, listen to what Mr. Dawkins says. Even the most ardent atheist concedes that design is all around us. You know why they concede that? Because it's the truth. The reason they concede that point is it's the truth. To a Christian, the design we see all around us is totally consistent with the Bible explanation that God who created it all. All appearance to the contrary. The only watchmaker in nature is the blind forces of physics, albeit deployed in a very special way. A true watchmaker has foresight. He designs his cogs and his springs and plans for the interconnections with the future purpose in his mind's eye. I went through a debate many years ago between a member of the church and an atheist. At this debate, the atheist was ridiculing the faith in the belief that God created the world in 6 days and that there was intelligent design by it. And he insists that it happened through natural causes, through centuries or through millions and billions of years. The man that was debating him took off his watch, put it in a handkerchief, and took a hammer and destroyed it. And then he tied the handkerchief in a knot. He says, how many people believe when I take this watch and I throw it against that wall, when I open it up, it'll be this watch again? They laughed at him. They said, you're a fool. He says, oh no. I know that it won't be a watch. I know it won't be the watch. But you're the fool because you believe in evolution. You believe that could happen. Kenny was telling me this morning that he was watching a discussion between an atheist, a naturalist, and a Bible believer. And you know the illustration that the Bible believer used? He said, if you believe that this happened by chance, that's like saying that a hurricane went through a junkyard, and when it left a 747 in its entirety sitting right there for you to fly. I told Kenny I'd never get in it. Brethren, it didn't just happen. When you look at all the watch, and you look at all the cogs and the springs, somebody had to put that all together. A watch didn't just create itself. A car doesn't create itself. And a planet doesn't create itself. Somebody had to put all the pieces together and make design out of chaos. When I look at a watch, I know there was a watchmaker. When I look at a car, I know there was an automobile maker. When I looked at a house, I know there was a contractor, there was a builder, there was a blueprint. Somebody erected that house. And when I look at this world, I know that somebody put it together. And that somebody was God. Because He's the only one that had the ability to put it together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you believe Noah built an ark? You believe that. You never saw the ark. You weren't there. Why do you believe it? The world now accepts the concept that at one time the world was covered with water. They can't explain why. But now they accept that at one time the world was covered by water. But they can't tell you why. I didn't see Christ go to the cross. I didn't see Him hanging there. But I believe because the evidence is overwhelming. Even Christian fathers, even the early church writers in the first and second century wrote about a man named Jesus and about the great things that He did. Even secular history records some of that. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know what I believe, ladies and gentlemen? I believe not only is it reasonable to believe in God, it is unreasonable not to. Because there is no other viable explanation that can explain the intelligent design, the infinite wisdom, the order of the universe, the orderly things of creation and the world that we live in. There's no other explanation that can make sense except you put God in the equation. Intelligent design? Can man do that? Can man create that? Man didn't create that. That didn't happen by billions of years. That's the handiwork of God. That's the evidence of design. That's the evidence that somebody put it together. That's the evidence that there was intelligent design and purpose by everything God did. Who did He give dominion to over His creation? Man. We have dominion over the vastness of the creation that God created. And what have we done? The more we learn, the less we know. How many things are man finding out, even about the human body? We're learning things every day. We learn things every year. We learn something new. We learn to do, you know, when I was a child, TB was a death sentence. Now you take a shot. Or take it orally. Who gave us the wisdom to create that? How do we fix a lot of the problems that we've had over the centuries that this world's in existence? How were we able to figure out how to fix it? Because we have wisdom. We have the ability of intelligence. We have design. We have purpose. We have intellect. Why do we have it and none of the other things that are around us have it? Not animals, not plant life, not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, not the planet. Why does man only have that ability? Why does man only have that capacity? Because God gave it to him. And you know what the Bible says? Let's end our lesson with looking at what God says. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day of the Lord, in the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And Paul would say in Acts 17, verse 30, Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day that he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this to us all by raising him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the earth didn't just happen. Life didn't just happen. The universe didn't just happen. And none of it happened by chance, and none of it happened by circumstance, and none of it happened by natural cause, not by any kind of evolution at all. The only plausible explanation that we are here and that we exist and that we have the capacity to be able to reason, to think, and have the intelligence and the wisdom that we have, the only viable explanation that makes sense, is that there had to be a builder, a designer, and a creator. And that person was all those things together. The builder, the creator, the designer, and that builder, and that creator, and that designer was God. And no matter how smart we get, we'll never be able, ever, to be able to disprove that. That's why in your books, the evolution is a theory. Why is it theory? Because it cannot be proven. If that theory could be proven, why hasn't it been proven? We keep gaining in our ability and our knowledge in our academic world. Why haven't we made strides in proving that evolution is a law and not a theory? Because we can't replicate it. We can't duplicate it. And there's questions that we cannot answer without putting God in the discussion. But let me ask you a question in closing tonight. Why does the majority of the world want to keep God out of the equation? Do they have a reason? Yes. Because if there is a God, if there is a creator, if there is a designer, the man has someone he has to answer to. But if I don't want to answer to God, if I want to be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, and without any repercussions, then I want to put God out of the equation. And that's what all this is about. You know why they try to stop places like the Creation Museum? There's a fellow trying to build a replica in Minnesota of the Ark. And he's being fought by the ACLU, by the State Commission, and by many people. His work has been halted by all the people trying to sue him to stop it. Why? They don't want the other side told. You know what I call that, brethren? I call that a closed mind, don't you? And yet, who do they accuse in this discussion of having a closed mind? Us. As I told you this morning, brethren, don't let anybody tell you that we don't have any evidence. We have the same evidence they have. We just have a different way of interpreting it than they do. And so I end where I began. Is it reasonable? Is it reasonable to believe in God? And I must say yes. Not only is it reasonable, it is unreasonable, and it is dangerous not to. Because let me ask you this. What if there is a God? What if there is a God? And you go through your life believing there wasn't. What happens then? What happens at the end? Are you willing to take the risk of what could happen if there really was a God? And He did create us. And He put us here for a reason. To fear Him. To respect Him. And to keep His commandments. As the Bible tells us, are you willing to risk what will happen after you leave here? To be wrong? I lived in Las Vegas for 13 years. I didn't believe in gambling then, and I don't believe in it now. That's a risk I'm not going to take. Because there's too much evidence to tell me there is a God. And there's too many bad things that will happen if I'm wrong about that. You're here and you're not a Christian. The reason that God sent His Son here was to die to make it possible that you would not have to talk about God in an academic way. But one day you'll be able to see Him as He is. And one day you'll be able to be where He's at. You haven't seen heaven. None of us have. But we all are striving to get there, aren't we? Why do we put so much of our time and effort to get to heaven? Because we know it exists. Why do we know it exists? And if I had no other reason to believe in God because of intelligent design, there's another reason I would believe in Him. Because the Bible says He cannot lie. If God cannot lie, and when He said He created the world in 6 literal days, then that's exactly what happened. In 6 literal days, God created heavens and the earth. Is that beyond my ability to understand? Yes. Is it above my ability to understand how God sent His Son here and He was able to live as God and man in the earth and yet be able to keep them separate and then to die as a man and give His life for me on the tree of Calvary? Is that beyond my ability to comprehend and get my mind around how He did all that? Yes. But I believe it because God says He won't lie to me. And He hasn't lied to you. If you obey Him, He'll wash away your sin. He'll put you in His kingdom. He'll make you part of His body. And, if you remain faithful, He'll give you a home where He's at forever, for eternity. There are a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen, that are in for a rude awakening when they leave this life. Because then it's not going to be an academic discussion any longer. It's not going to be what I thought or what I think anymore. It's going to be reality. But the sad part of this story is, on the wrong side of the ledger, you can't change it. Now you can change it. You can't leave this opportunity without giving you an opportunity to make your life right with God if you are a member of the Lord's church or you're not and you need to. Yes, God exists. Yes, God's real. And we need to be prepared for when we're here to do so as together we stand, as we sing.